All right, everybody, if you're able, please stand up. We're going to worship the Lord.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Dear, I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire.
The Lord. the lion and the lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
Let's sing that again. Our God is the Lion.
Our God is the Lion. Judah, he's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, and I won't be shaken, and I won't be shaken. Come on, church. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, and shame no longer has a place to hide. And I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. And I won't be shaken. And I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can. Chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. When I'm standing, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand. on, listen
up. There's a chance when I stand in your
no fear,
love.
No fear,
my fear doesn't
stand a chance when I stand in your love. Yeah, I'm standing in your love. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Oh, I am standing on the rock. Come on. And I'm standing on your love. Oh, and I am standing on the rock. What? My firm foundation. One more time, lift it up. Oh, I am
standing
on the rock. Yeah. Amen, amen.
God, as we come here today, we just thank you that we can sing songs and we can worship you. I just want to thank you for everybody who's here in the sound of my voice. May they not hear me, but may they hear you. And so, God, at this time that we give back to you in tithe and offerings, it's not here. It's not to a franchise for Haven Community Church. We could care less about any of that. God, for our visitors, you don't even think about even opening that. You're our guest today. But, God, what we want to do is I just ask that for those of us who are giving, that you go ahead and you multiply and use that. Not to stay here, but to reach the world. For our brothers and sisters who are still living in such political turmoil in Haiti, we pray for Haven Community Church in Haiti, all three of those groups that are just serving you. We pray for Pastor Oog's wife, and she faces some health issues and just the climate there. For those in our own community, those who are dealing with addiction and struggles and homelessness and everything, God, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people, that we can go ahead and reach out, not in our way, but in your name. And so, as we just sang, there is power in your name, and that fear doesn't stand a chance when we rest in your love. So, God, as we continue our worship in the midst of when we give a portion back to you, may we give even more in our worship as we truly need you every single second of the day, and we just need you to speak to us. So let's just continue to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. My Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. Savior, I come to Thee. in joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is in vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
Let's
thee.
Sing verse one again.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Oh, bless
me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen. Amen. All right, at this time, I want you to know that our kids, our Haven kids, can go ahead and leave for Haven Kids Ministry and look at somebody and say, you look real good for this brisk Sunday morning.
Good morning. Today's reading is from first chapter of Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself make you entirely pure and devoted to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept strong and blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again.
Okay, so we have some prayer requests we're going to lift up, and so I just want to lift them up. We have a lot of them today, which is awesome, as we are in our last official day of 14 days of prayer that we've been doing. Joanna is lifting a praise. She scored a 4 on the test. That means she failed, which is good because it's for chemotherapy, so we're thanking God for that. And prayers for Richard Montgomery, who also has failing health and needs prayer. Judy Music asked for prayers for Amanda Burton, 37 years old, a mother of 3, is waiting for results from a liver biopsy. Jesse Eller, for herself, she has some health issues and a test. Holly Kipp is up for a full-time position at work, so we pray that God will go ahead and give her that. Right, Holly? So there we go. Jen has also asked for prayers for Courtney Schrader and all other college freshmen, and add to that their parents, who thought it would be great when they walked out the door and now are like missing them. So we want to pray for homesickness and anxiety and all that other stuff that goes with it. Linda for a new job for her daughter Amy, one that is a career and uses her God-given talents, so we'll claim that. Taylor Dixon for prayer for herself to get back on her feet and heal from a breakup of 5 years. For Joe Fleming, for the anniversary of John McCain's death, and keep the family in the prayers. And also, I forget her name, Dina's sister. There was a 30-year-old mother, just turned 30. Many of you know Dina Howard, who's been in our church before, is her sister. She gave birth on Saturday and died of a heart attack on Sunday and has 3 children. So we want to continue to lift them in your prayers as well. I mean, just when you think you've heard something, we get something else. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Can we do that? Lord God, we're here today, and we just, once again, thank you for your presence with us. We know that there are so many needs. Number one, we want to thank you by starting and just praising you for all the awesome things that you're doing. I thank you that Joanna failed a test, an awesome test that she failed. And so, God, we just continue to ask for your healing to be with her. For many of the others, we have lost from very young people. We have people who are dealing with all kinds of other sicknesses, all kinds of other situations, for jobs. And God, I just want to pray for anybody who's in a period of transition or uncertainty, or who has just had enough with this thing called life. And God, so I just ask that you reach them, you touch them, you make all your desires and all your wills clear to their name. And that ultimately in all this, that they will know that they have a father, they have a daddy who loves them more than anybody ever could. And we'll give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Good deal. Okay, so I want to share some things with you. We are in our last week of the series, which is called Cleaning House. And so if you missed any of them, they are online or through an app. I want to go through some announcements, though, that we have here today. Youth group will meet, and they will be going to see a movie called Overcomer after church. But there will be no youth group next week because it's Labor Day, okay? And so they wanted to take that time off. You can read in your insert that we will be collecting, yes, for Operation Christmas Child. That will be coming up. So that our Haven kids can go ahead and begin to pack those things. Small groups, we have some small groups, the one specifically starting the 21st at 7 down in the Cecilton area. You can see information about that. And Grief Share support group that is in here. Again, anybody who's connected to this has really loved it, really connected. We all deal with grief in some manner, so we'd love for you to connect to that. If you have any questions, there's contact information there. And then we will be serving at the Parish Foundation on September the 15th. So if you're interested, please go ahead and do that. I always like to give you a little bit of precursor to the next series. Our next series is going to be, ready, 6 weeks long, and it came from you. Show this video, Melinda, and tell them what it's about.
So there's these questions we all ask, big questions that have a huge effect on our lives. But there's all this information out there that makes finding a solution difficult. So we came up with a better way to give you the answers that you need. We did a survey at Easter and compiled a list of your top 6 most asked questions. That list then became a roadmap for this message series. Each week, we'll examine a single question and discover God's answers based on His Word. It's a series we like to call...
All right. Do you remember that? Some of you might remember around Easter time that we handed out. Right, it was on Easter, actually. I handed out something and said, what would you like to hear a message about? And you guys responded. And so we took the top six of your messages. And so that's what the next series is going to be about. Don't worry. It's not one of those preacher things that you do and you forget about. It's I wanted to do that. So I wanted to give you an update of what they are. Here's your top six so you can see what you want to be involved with. Next week, we're going to talk about what's God's plan for my life. That was the top one. The next one is how do I handle stress? Okay, and you guys look like you're stressed out, so you might want to be here. The third week will be the Holy Spirit. What is it? The next week is one that was consistent, not only in what you wanted to talk about, but it was also consistent in many of the prayer cards and stuff that we've been focusing on the last several weeks, and it's forgiving others, really? That's what we're going to have that week. And then, what about heaven? Will be week five, and week six will be raising kids now in this generation, and so that's what we're going to talk about. So see, you guys made me put me to work a little bit extra, and so we're going to go ahead and share those in You Wanted to Know. This is a series based on what you guys did. What? There you go. Awesome. All right. So today is we are closing out our 14 days of prayer. We have been doing 14 days of prayer. Not that we don't pray all the time, hopefully, but we've been making a complete focus on these last 14 days of prayer. And with that, we've had some Wednesday morning services at 6:30, and that's real early. I'm looking forward to not having to pry my eyes open about 5 and get here and stuff, but we've had some really cool things in the midst of that. And in January, it's going to come back, and we're going to have some of the similar thing, but we're going to add to that fasting at the beginning of January, just to let you know, so eat all up at the beginning of, at the end of the year, all right? And so we've been, and with that, corresponding with it, we've also had Saturday services, which are a little bit later at 9 a.m., and just to let you know, it's been really kind of cool to see how God has already been answering many of those prayers that we put on there. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today. So the last 3 weeks, we've been spending time cleaning house. And what we've been dealing with, we said, we all recognize that we have some junk in our life, right? We have some stuff that's in our lives. And as a matter of fact, the verse that I used yesterday in our prayer service was, out of the heart come the issues of life. And anybody got any issues? If not, I got some I'll share with you if you want some. Okay, so we all have issues in our lives. And so we've been spending time dealing with that, recognizing that we are what is called, here's your churchy term of the day, triune, which just means a three-way, a triune being that we are made of spirit, soul, and body. And we have been spending the last 3 weeks, so if you missed any of the last 3 weeks, I'd love for you to go back and catch up and look at those, because they're really, really, really good. I really like them. So the first week we talked about what I think is the most important area to start, a clean spirit, because we are spiritual beings. The second week we talked about having a clean soul and getting that stuff out so that we can get the good stuff in, and that is primarily emotions and intellect and those kind of things. Then last week we talked about clean body, where we talked about having that it in our life, that there's certain things, and this is where we usually think of when we talk about getting clean and stuff. We think, okay, I'm going to get my body in some shape. But the problem is the pendulum can't go the other way. Like, we can't go from hoarders to an empty house. It does us no good. And we can't go from spiritual hoarders to cleaning everything out, because that's no good either. So this was a three-week series that I'm making for today, and you're like, okay, well, what's the other part if we're a triune being? The other part is, how do we maintain that? How do we stay here? Because we've had 14 days of prayer, and it's been good, but you can come here Wednesday morning. I ain't gonna be here, all right? You may be here on Saturday at 9 a.m. I'm not gonna be here. But so how do we do those things, those intentional things, and keep that in our lives? Because, like, even when you go through like eating clean. It's funny that they actually call that. When I had a trainer, he set me up on an eating plan, and he would talk about eating clean, which basically means what? You eat a bunch of stuff that doesn't taste that good, but you eat it because it's going to hopefully have an effect on this. All right? So you eat stuff like egg whites, brown rice, chicken, fish, salad. Right? That's it. You're eating clean. But then just to let you know, you don't get this body by just eating that all the time. You get it by liking cheesesteaks, pizza, because I got to have that. You know, and the cool thing was, I remember the first time I went to him, and somebody likes it, all right. So there you go, Todd, all right. So what I remember about this was like, I remember the first time I went and saw him, and I said, he was going through all this, I said, can I have pizza? And he said, once a week, you can eat anything you want. I'm like, all right, let's go. And if anybody's ever seen me when I sit down, it is an experience. I will have pizza. I will have cheesesteak. I will have a stromboli. I will even go get a cheeseburger. I will wrap all that in, whether I'm bursting out my ears with a good thing of chocolate marshmallow ice cream from Kilby's. All right? So everybody with me? Making you hungry? Feel good. Now, if I eat that every day of my life, like Morgan Spurlock showed us in that Super Size Me, anybody see that? Where he ate McDonald's, breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day, and it had an effect on his body that was negative. And that's what we're talking about in the spirit. We can't live in those extremes all the time, but we need to get in a maintenance mode in order to keep that. So now, basically, that 14 days of prayer is over. What do we do? What do we do? How do we keep motivated to at least maintain? So I found a verse I want to share with you that was read for us by June today, but let's look at it again from 1 Thessalonians. Here it is. May the God of peace himself make you entirely pure and devoted to God. In our next section here. And may your spirit, that's week one, soul week two, and body be what? Be what? Kept strong and blameless until when? Until the day when the Lord Christ returns, all right? Isn't that cool? Or comes back again. And so that's where we are. We're looking at that. We want to maintain the spiritual area because a lot of us, if you're like me, a lot of times in our life, we get this really like awesome spiritual high and we get going and we get close and then it trickles off and then we're like, well, how did I get here again? And so what we want to do, we want to add some maintenance to those areas as well. And so today may not be the most inspirational, like, heaven's open. Wow, that's exactly what I need. Today is going to be practical preaching. I'm going to give you stuff that you're just going to take and say, oh, I can do that. So we're going to give you some things and work there. And sometimes I actually think that that's even better than the emotion because I've been part of worship services where the music's awesome, where the preaching's awesome. And all of a sudden I leave and I'm like, now what? Right? You know, there's nothing to do. So today you're going to get some stuff to do. Sound good? If not, that's all I got. So just hang in there. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24, and again, you have your worship guide with you. You can fill in. You can add in the blanks. We'll go over them with you today. And you can see in Proverbs 17, it says this, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Have you ever followed somebody who doesn't know where they're going? How many have done that before? Or you followed somebody who knows where they're going and they forget that you're following them. Okay, that happens time and time again. So what I'm going to share with you is actually a business principle. It's also a biblical principle. It's something I've shared before by somebody who I look to as a great mentor, even though he's never met me. And one day he will. And it's Dr. John Maxwell. And you've heard me speak about Dr. John Maxwell, who was a pastor and is one of the most foremost executive coaches in the world. And he gives what he calls the rule of five. The rule of five, and that's what I'm going to be talking about a little bit today, and we're going to look at this. And those of you who've been around for a while have heard me say this. Basically, the rule of five is this. So let's say you have a tree. It's a big tree that you want to cut down. Okay? You don't have a chainsaw. Okay, forget that. This is before chainsaws. So the rule of five is this. You go out every day, and you hit it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you go back in the house. The next day you come out, you go ahead, you hit it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then what do you do? Go back in the house or go about your day. You come out and you do that the next day. We're day three. You come out, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then what do? Go in the house. You do that again the next day, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you keep doing that every day, and what's eventually going to happen? The tree's going to fall. Now, you say, but isn't it more efficient to do it in that day? Have you ever tried to chop down a big tree with an axe? You are going to get what? Tired. Your hands are going to bleed. You're going to be sore. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to be like, enough. I had enough of this dumb tree. You're going to save dirty words, right? Okay? So this is all the stuff that's going to happen. So the rule of five is that something you don't have to do it all day, but you do it every day. And there are five things that you do every single day. And it's a biblical principle that exists here as well. As it says, the wise aim their actions, the intelligent person aim at wise actions where a fool heads off in several different directions. So what we need, I think, often is a practical plan to just live life. And, you know, often I've been part of, in grad school and seminary and other kind of areas, and I've actually sat in churches where people who stand in this role want to go ahead and tell you how intelligent they are, and by doing so, they completely confuse you. Am I right? Anybody been in these situations? And they talk about this stuff, and they talk about these grandiose things that you're like, huh? What? And so what I believe the job of a communicator is, because a lot of religion and religious people like to take the simplistic and make difficult. But I think the job of a communicator and what Jesus showed us is that we take what often seems so difficult and make it simple. And I've had people tell me, Jack, you're a really simple preacher, and I hope that's a good thing. You know, I'm pretty simple, if anybody knows me. But anyway, so what is a rule of five? That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about a rule of five as we communicate. So what is the rule of five? And here's some things here that we're going to focus on when we look at this. Number one, and this is a blank on your sheet, this number one thing here is to be intentional. We need to be intentional. We need to find our tree. What is that tree in your life that you want to tackle, you want to attempt? What is the goal of your life? I'm getting ready to start teaching at college again, and there's a lot of people who just don't have a clue. I didn't, okay? I majored in journalism. I'm talking about like newspaper journalism when I was there. Now, I know some other people in newspaper journalism. It's awesome, but back then there wasn't this thing called the internet, right? It's kind of changed the market a little bit, am I right? It's changed the whole deal about what it is. And so I had a love for that, and I see how God has used that, but my direction turned completely different over the years where I ended up being a pastor and a professor. That wasn't what I sought to do. And so I see people trying to find a goal. How many of you are doing exactly what you thought you were going to be doing at age 18? Anyone? Oh, there's a couple of you. Okay. How many still have no clue what you're doing tomorrow? All right, there we go. Now, so that's what happens. So we see a lot of people. One of the reasons I think why is because we aren't intentional about what we want to do. That we don't have those goals in our life and we don't go at it. And so one of the things they show is important to success is that we have that tree, we have that goal where we want to go ahead and we know where we want to chop. So after I know that, then I want to move on to this area. I want to be practical because there's a lot of people who have great intentions but aren't practical. They can't, I really want to. So what do you have to do to chop down a tree? You got to get an axe. You can't go out there with a baseball bat. You can, but it ain't going to help at all. And so, you know, a lot of times you can't go out there with a spatula and hit it. You need to have the proper tools to attack the tree. You need to have that axe. And some of us really have great intentions, but lack the right practice. So some of us say, hey, I really want to do this, but it's not working. Maybe, just maybe, because we aren't being practical enough. Another thing that we need to do is be consistent. Be consistent. This is a key. We need to find something that's not hard to do. Like hitting a tree. How many of you think that if they got you near a tree and gave you an axe, you could at least make five chops? Right, that's easy, okay? We can all do that. Some of us may be stronger in it. Some of us may think that we're like in one of those lumberjack competitions or whatever. Some of us may think that, tap, tap, it may take us 100 years. But we'll get there. You need something that doesn't take a lot of time. It's not all day. It's what? Every day, not all day, every day. Things every day, just a few times. And if you take these things that we're going to talk about today, and you take these things and don't look to do them all day, but you look to do them every day, just for a brief moment or something, I guarantee these things can change your life. And number four here, we need to expect results. And this is my hope. This is my hope of everything, that I want you all to have the life. Here's what I want. A lot of people say, next week we're going to talk about God's will for your life. And if you're looking for me to look at you and say, Debbie, here is God's will for your life, forget it, because I'm a mess. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. But what I do know is I know how to seek God and I try to listen for his voice. And so I want to share those areas that you can get closer to God so God can speak to you. Okay, does that sound cool? So that's what we need to do. We need to expect results. And so I just thought I'd share with you some of my five today that I use personally in my life that I've never always been perfect at it, but it's been working out when I've been intentional and I've been consistent and they're practical and it's really awesome. I'm getting some results. I'm not perfect. I'm still a mess. I'm still the one you love, okay? So, but you can expect some results. So here we go. Here's mine. Number one, my five, and you don't have to write these down. You might have your own. But what I have really been intentional, practical, and consistent about has been talking to God, and that's just praying. Even if it's just a minute or two a day, even if it's just, I mean, I tell you, it's even more powerful if you get a little bit more time. But if you just have some time to just talk to God, and we're going to talk a little bit more about today. The next thing that I do is, number two, is to study God's word. We live in an awesome time that we don't have to carry around a 20-pound Bible with us. Matter of fact, I shared this the other week. I ordered this off of the gift of God, Amazon, and it came in Prime delivery. Everybody say hallelujah for Prime delivery, right? You can get this sucker in one day now. Mm-hmm. Go. So it's like it fell out of heaven. Oh, okay. But it's a larger print because my eyes stink at this age. And I can throw it in my backpack wherever I go. I pull this out. I have it. But you know what? You don't have to have this because there's this thing called iPhones or smartphones, which make us dumber. But one of the cool things is there is a program. There's a program with Bible, the Bible app, YouVersion, which has millions and millions of people. And here it is. Are you ready for this? It's free. Any translation, if you're somebody who's got to have God speak to you in King James, boom, it will. And it will speak to you. They have a guy who says, and the Lord said, it'll read it to you, all right? And if you want it in a modern translation, you can have it that way. If you need something that's a little bit more focused, that you may need the one-year Bible, which does an Old Testament, a New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverbs, boom, you can do that. There are so many ways, and you can carry it around, and you can even click remind me, and it will remind you. And here's the other cool thing about some of these. If you get behind, how many of you have ever gotten behind? Am I the only one? All right, help me out here. Okay, if you've ever gotten behind, it has a thing so you don't have to feel tortured and guilty every day. You can hit a button and it says, catch me up. And you're like, I'm on, right? So you can continue on, nobody but you and God now. All right, so there's several tools that you can have. And if you're interested in some of those other ones, you can talk to me and I'll help you there. So not only get into the Word of God, but get the Word of God into you is the most important thing there. And number three, this is something I think is really important. I care about a lot of people. I do. I do care about a lot of people, even the people that have wronged me in my life. But there's some people who are just closest to me who I just really, really love. And those people, I just want to love on them. You know, I realize, have you ever been so busy you forgot to tell somebody you love them? You know? And if something happened, it would be the worst situation. You wished that you would say something. Don't wait till something happens that you go ahead and do that. And I'm going to tell you, don't only say it, show it. Now, man, I'm going to say this to you. That doesn't mean always buying something when you screwed up. Because men show their love by buying junk. Right, ladies? And you're like, shut up, Jack. I want them roses. Right? So, all right? And somebody's like, he gave me roses this week. Wonder what you did, okay? But we have that. But I've there's all kinds of research about this. I don't know who's researching it, but I've heard that often women are more attracted, are really attracted when you are doing the dishes. Amen. Oh, there you go. All right. Holy Spirit and something else is moving in this place. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, about what you do, and don't forget to tell your kids you love them. I realize I don't do that enough, and just share with them. It could be a text or something else. It could just be saying, hey, those close to your family, your close friends, even those around you that you spend time with, those closest to you, just love on those people closest to you, all right? So number four, try to make a difference in somebody's life. Sometimes it may just be that person who's the cashier and you just say, hey, thank you for what you're doing. I just want to appreciate it. That person that you pass by at work all the time, just say something nice to them. Maybe it's a call or a text. One of the things that I've just adapted to is a lot of times when God puts somebody in my mind, I will just send a text and say, hey, thinking about you. I want to let you know that you popped in my mind, so God had me pray for you or something like that. A note, something there. And the last thing is, and that you got to do this as well. You know, this is for me what I got to do. And I'm really bad at this one a lot, is taking care of myself. Okay, I'm naturally a giver in personalities. That doesn't mean I can't be selfish, because I am. But a lot of times I don't take care of myself. I isolate myself, but I don't often take care of myself. So we need that. And then at the end of the day, take a couple brief moments and say, how did I do on these five? And say, if you didn't do bad, and some days you may not do them all, but then pick it back up next day and do the same thing. Sound good? So here we are at the end of 14 days of prayer. We're into this, and so now what? Now what? From this day on, where are we? So I'm going to share with you what I believe is your five, and these are your spiritual five. Because again, I believe these are the most important. And you can have five for your body, for your soul, and your spirit. But I'm going to give you the spirit ones because I believe these are the most important because we are a spiritual being. Ultimately, that's who we are. Okay? So, and what I want to say is we are all on a spiritual journey. And I do want to say this, that even if you don't believe in God or aren't sure that you believe in God, you are on a spiritual journey. And I want to thank anybody who's listening and sounding my voice that if you aren't sure about God, welcome. Because I love that you are asking those questions. I think a lot of us don't ask that question, but we are all on a spiritual journey. And you say, well, how is that, Jack, if I don't believe in God? Because God created us in this triune way, and we have a spirit, and there's something that needs to be filled. That's my understanding and what I believe. But again, I just want to say you are welcome. If you have questions, you are welcome. If you're in a search, you're welcome. If you say there is no God, because my prayer is that he will make himself real to you as he did with me. I've had conversations with people, and somebody said, so you actually believe in Christianity? I said, not Christianity, I believe in Jesus. How? And I said, logically, personally, and spiritually, I just know because of what God has done in my life. And so those things are cool, and that's my prayer. But we always will long for something to fill. And so our focus, we're going to talk about what Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, but what's those words? Say it with me. But let's do it. We can do better. But his kingdom and his righteousness and all things will be given to you as well. And so here we are. We are all swamped in our life chasing after something, aren't we? We all have something we're headed toward. And we spend so much time, whether it be work or whether it be school or whether it be being the best parent, being the best whatever, okay? We work so hard at that. And we put, a lot of times we put those things first. If I'm honest, most of those things I kind of put first in my life. And I struggle to pull it back. But here's the cool thing about Jesus. He says, seek first him. Spiritually, seek him first, and then what is the promise that you get? Everything else falls into place. And so that's what we're going to kind of do, if we seek him first. So here are our rule of five for our spiritual lives. And never stop. These are the things that we're going to take. These are we're going to do with our spiritual acts. Are you ready? Everybody good? This is what I got today, all right? I told you it's practical. Get your acts ready. Here we go. So first thing, acknowledge and thank God. Acknowledge and thank God. It may just be like the first thing before your feet hit the floor. Hey, God, you're incredible. I thank you that you gave me breath to get out for this miserable day. Might be something like that, all right? Or you may just say, hey, God, thank you. Just thank you. Everybody, ready? We're going to practice this. Everybody say thank you. You're welcome, okay? So there you go. That was easy. So just tell God thank you in the midst of everything. It's really good to do also when you're ticked off at somebody. You know what I mean? When somebody comes in your life and starts to steal that joy right away, and you just say, thank you, Jesus, for that person. You know? You just got to remind yourself to get back to it. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul begins to say something. And he talks about a generation that knew God, but they had gotten off. They'd gotten off, and they actually knew about God. They knew of God. It kind of reminds us of our culture, that it was based on things about God, but the Lord's just there somewhere in the back. And one of the things that Paul said is they knew God and they neither worshiped him or gave thanks. God wants us to give thanks. And so Psalm 145 says, I will exalt you, my God and my King. I will praise your name forever and ever. And here's the key verse. And a lot of our key verses will have this kind of comment. Every day I will praise you and extol your name. That means lift up your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of power. Again, lifting up God, saying thank you, and just recognize him each and every single day. And I want to share with you a story about an African king. There was an African king who had a friend. And he went hunting with his friend, and his friend always had a way of saying, this is good. So if somebody cut him off on the road, he would say, this is good. And if he if he had a cold, they'd say, oh, you sound bad, you have a cold. He'd say, this is good. And he constantly had this momentum to always say, this is good. Well, they went hunting one day, and his friend loaded the gun for the king, and somehow he loaded it wrong, and when the king shot it, it blew off his thumb. And when it happened, he looked at his friend, and his friend said, this is good. And the king said, oh, no, it's not. I'm throwing you in jail. So he threw him, and when he threw him in jail, what did he say? This is good. So he was put in jail. It wasn't longer before the king was out one day, and he was walking around. As he was walking around, he was captured by some cannibals. The cannibals had him and were ready to kill him and to eat him. And they looked and they saw he was missing a thumb. And in their practice, they believed that you wouldn't eat anything that was blemished. And so without his thumb, they released him. And when he realized that's what happened, he thought of his friend. So he went to his friend who had now been in prison for a year and a half. And he went to his friend, he said, I am so sorry. You know, and he told him the story that happened. He said, I'm so sorry. And I'm putting you in prison. I'm going to release you. And the friend said, this is good. And he said, how can you say this is good? He said, because if that hadn't happened, I would have been with you. Get it? All right. So this is good. You see the attitude that he has? This is good. And if you're like me, I look around, I'm like, this stinks. This is bad. Can you believe? World's going to hell in a handbasket. I can't stand that person. I got to work with them. I got to do this. Ooh, oh my gosh. Oh, I got to sit next to them in church. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. No, we need to blow off some people's thumbs in life, right? So that we see that this is good. It's an attitude, and I hate this term, but I'm going to do it because it's cheesy. An attitude of gratitude. We just need to be in an attitude to thank God, no matter what we're going through, to recognize that God's got this. And so the secret to handling and believing in life that you have everything, the secret to having everything in life is believing that you already have it. Because if you already have it and you're grateful, then everything else is just extra. You know, like if I brought you, like how many people like ice cream? I'm making you hungry today. You're all going to get fat after this church service, all right? So what's your favorite kind of ice cream? Chocolate. Who likes chocolate? Who likes vanilla? All right. How many of you like chocolate syrup? How many like that hard shell stuff? How many like them disgusting little like Jimmy things on there, right? Isn't that gross? What are you doing with that? Like, all right. But anyway, so what if I gave you vanilla ice cream? But then I came along and I sliced up some bananas. And then what if I put some chocolate syrup in there, some whipped cream? And then what if I took it and ate it myself? No, but hey, a banana split for most of us is a little bit better than just plain vanilla, right? So see, if we're happy with what we think is vanilla that God's gotten to us, all the rest is just extra when we say this is good, right? Everybody good with me? Okay, so there we are, that one. Next one, number two, is to talk to God. To talk to God. And I purposely did not use pray, because we don't think of prayer like that. Often what we think of prayer is like some lofty sentences to a God who's from England. I mean, oh, thou, this, thou, we, woo, them, you, ye, ya, yeah, right. Don't we? And I'm not saying that's totally wrong if that's there for you, but God ain't from England. Okay? So, he's not. Okay, sorry. Somebody's like, yes, he is. King James only. All right. So, but what I'm saying is this. How do you pray? How do you talk to God? Just talk to him. Just talk to God. I think sometimes, you know, God loves our prayers, but I think sometimes he's like, would you just please talk to me? If my kids walked in and said, oh, thou Father who provideth us all these things, may I bow to you? Number one, I'd have a heart failure. Number two, I'd say, what do you want, right? Sometimes when we come to God, I think we just come to him like he's so far removed and we don't know him. I love when my kids call me and say, hey, Dad. You know, hey, Daddy, I know them. I know when they're calling what they want, right, parents? You know, the style stuff. You know that's a bad situation. They're like, how are you today, Dad? I'm good. What's up? You know, we know those things. And God knows the same things. He loves to be praised and say, oh, I love you, God. But often he just wants us to talk to him. Just talk to him. Some of you have been around for a while, and I heard one of the coolest prayers ever in my entire life from an inner city kid in Baltimore who just started his prayer, hey, Dad. I was like, guess what? He knows God deeper than many people in this room because it's the depths of his relationship with God. So we just talk to him. Just talk to God. How do we talk to God? Look at Psalm 68 here. I think we have it up here. Psalm 68 says, praise be to the Lord, our God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Doesn't say he daily listens to our lofty prayers in some other language or some other thing that's lofted and perfect and whatever. He says he wants to hear our burdens. How many of you have any burdens on your heart right now? You know what God wants to do? He wants you to go to him and say, hey, Daddy, this is what I'm dealing with. You know, my kids, no matter what they've gone through, right, parents? No matter what they're going through, they always have access to their daddy. Particularly when the burden or the situation is worse, they have a more immediate connection with me, right, parents? Right? And so, and guess what? When they have an immediate need, I immediately respond. So why, if I do it in my natural, do you think God would do something different in the spiritual? He loves his children and wants to be there for them immediately. So how do we do this? Here's how, and the model I'm using for this a little bit is because Jesus did. We need a particular time that we have here, that we go ahead and look at this scripture right here for a particular time. In the morning. That's when David did it, in the morning. Oh, Lord, you hear my voice, and in the morning I lay my request before you and wait in anticipation. Some of you may be an evening person. You like the quiet of the evening. Whatever it is, just connect to God in that way. Number two, a particular place. Look at this, Jesus, it says here in Mark. It says that a particular place, what did he say? He said, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got off and left the house and went off to a what? Solitary place. There are some of the best prayers and the best prayer sessions I've ever heard is some praise and worship in my car and me in a parking lot. Just me and Jesus in a parking lot, all right? Because guess what? It's probably one of the only places in my life that's quiet and still enough. All right. Other times that I found out, and we'll talk more about that in a bit, I like to pace around. I found that's something really new to me. Because I've always been like, okay, time to pray, and we all go. When you do that to this mind that never stops, you might as well put me in prison. Because I've got, and so one of the benefits that I've been having is just to walk around and just to talk and to do whatever. And some people may think I'm crazy talking to myself, but I'm not talking, you know, I am. But I need that. And to find an undistracted environment, okay? Scripture says to find your prayer closet. And some of you may be the people who are like, you sit still and you're just quiet and you dab a tear here and there, where I'm like, hey, God, you know, boom, and I'm walking and all that kind of stuff. It's not about this dial. It's about what works for you to talk to your dad, all right? So Jesus went off to a solitary place. Next one is a particular plan. We need a plan. Why? Because Jesus had a plan. It's like the Lord's Prayer. And these are some things that we were able to put together during this time. During the 14 days of prayer, there's a couple tools that we provided. If you want some, we can get them. One of these is these. We've provided these prayer guides for us. And they're really, really cool. And one of the cool things about them is they're divided into several different sections. And they take the Lord's Prayer, the Tabernacle, they have scripture, they have the prayer of Jabez, warfare prayers, and then praying for those in need. And then you have personal prayer focuses in the back that have lists of names to pray for your country and for your world and for your leaders and people who God's put on your heart. Another thing that we have are these, and these are my 12 targets for God's blessing. And they have scriptures on the other side. And they're just where you can put people's names down and stick them in your wallet, stick them in your Bible and just have them. There's a list that I have probably about 9 people right now that every time I go to God in prayer every day, that they are the first people on my list. All right. Some of you are here, some of you are not, but they are on my list. And I've been praying for them for weeks and for months. And it just keeps me honest and it keeps me focused. And one of the really cool things about the Lord's Prayer, and many of us know the Lord's Prayer, if you've been around a church building at all in the last 100 years probably, it's the Lord's Prayer. And I wanted to share something with you here, if I can find it. But the Lord's Prayer is divided into several things. I'll find it when we're done. But it's divided into several different categories and areas. And so we have, we also have something that I think this is cool as well. This is a children's prayer guide. And it goes through the Lord's Prayer and has it for them. And they have things that they can color. And they have things that they can add. And it has them add prayers. If you want this, we want to get this in the hands of kids. And you know what we'll even do? We'll even give you a pack of crayons. Adults, you don't get the pack of crayons. Sorry. But hey, be younger, all right? So, but this is not for us to say. Matter of fact, I didn't even invent this. I just, it was a tool that God placed in my hands. And it's awesome. It's awesome because we know that when we pray, stuff happens, right? Good stuff happens with God. And so Like, for instance, in this section here, the Lord's Prayer is divided into several different things. So when we start the Lord's Prayer, it'll say, let me get it here. Gosh, I can't see. All right. It says, our Father who is in heaven. So one of the things that we need to do is Jesus isn't interested in us practicing religion. Instead, he wants a relationship with us. This is about relationship. We say, holy is your name. Just worship him. He likes that. God loves to know that you care and that you know how awesome he is. Your kingdom come. In other words, God, do your stuff first. Your stuff first. Do what you want to in my life and go ahead and do this. Then I'm going to add my stuff. Give me today our daily bread. And then forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks, about forgiveness and how that works. And lead us not to temptation, because I don't care what situation you're in and as close as you're to God, somebody's going to lead you in temptation. You know, if you're working on anger, anybody ever prayed for patience? God doesn't just give you patience out of the sky and said, oh, you have patience. What does he do? He sends people in your life that will drive you batty and test it, all right? So that's part of it. And so so lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is a spiritual battle here. That is a prayer guide. It's awesome that we get together and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But Jesus never intended that to be a mantra prayer. He intended it to be a pattern of prayer for us. And so we want to help with the skills for those things. Everybody good? Okay, so if you want some of those prayer guides, let us know them. And we have the scriptures that are here. Forgive us. Third thing is, number three, you ready? Got your axe out? Number three, forgive us our sins we already did that. Number three, read and live by God's word. Both are important. We can read it, and we don't need to change it to me. We need to have the word of God change us to conform to him. Look at what Isaiah 40 says here. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of our God endures how long? Forever. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. How long? Day and night. That's daily. So that you may be careful to do everything in it. And then here comes the promise. And this is a cool promise. And the promise is this. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Okay, and the last verse in this section is, blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or seated mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates, how much? Day or night. Okay, and he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit every season, and whatever he does, he what? Prospers, okay? So what we have here so far, we have gratitude, giving God thanks. Thank you, God. We give God our burdens. God doesn't need our just lofty stuff, but he gives us our burdens. And we get into God's word, and we do that. And then number four, here we go. Keep, and I want you to look at me here. Here we go. Keep meaningful relationships. Let me say that again. Keep meaningful relationships. And you may say, well, Jack, how do I know if it's meaningful? If it builds you up. If it builds you up and it brings you closer to God, if it builds you up and it's something that enriches you, that is a meaningful relationship. If it's something that tears you down, has you nervous, has you filled with anxiety, always causing issues, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not a meaningful relationship. I don't care what attachment's there, it's not a meaningful relationship. Why is this so important? Because growth has always been tied to God and God's people. Some of us just want to say, hey, it's just me and Jesus, that's all I want. Just to let you know, you and Jesus are not going to figure out all your issues. You need other people in your life. You need other people in your life. And God knew that, and that's why he always sent people out together. That's why he always grouped people together. Do you honestly think that Jesus could not have saved us, not have gone to the cross, not have risen from the dead on his own? He could have. But he didn't want to, because he wanted to show us the importance of these 12 imbeciles that went around with him, and how when they got it right and got connected to each other and to the Holy Spirit, it changed the world. And so when we get connected to each other and quit playing that I got it, everything's good, wonderful. Oh, good morning, church. Oh, God bless. Yeah, we're wonderful. And meanwhile, your whole life's a wreck. And really what you want to say is, my gosh, my life is a wreck and I need to tell somebody. And we're so afraid that somebody's going to think something about us. Look at the person next to you and say, you are one messy sucker. And then tell them, and so am I. Aren't you glad you came to church today, right? Because guess what? We are all a mess. We all just plod through different areas of life because we have a heart. From the heart, the issues of life flow. And we need each other. And that's why you hear us mention that term, which has become kind of like cliquish in churches. But we need small groups together. We need to spend time and do life together. Now, worship team doesn't go ahead and every week pick out and get into deep Bible study and show videos and stuff like some of the other groups is. What do? We go together and we seek God and we hear songs and we go through them and we look at each other and we get on each other's nerves, right? Right, Becky? Right, Wayne? No, Wayne says no. Justin? Justin sits back there because we all get on his nerves, right? But what I'm saying is, you know what happens? That's called family. And when we do life together, on this stage and together, we have shared some of life's biggest struggles and problems. And we know that we have brothers and sisters who are going to be there and love us through it. Anybody who's ever been part of a group together with people and you made yourself vulnerable, that's one of the hardest things to go and start sharing. And when we start to do that, guess what? There's healing that begins to occur, all right? So I challenge that. Challenge you to go ahead and do that. And what's really cool is, you know, you say, well, look at this scripture. It says, but encourage each other daily. And you say, well, Jack, wait a second. Small groups usually meet weekly. Like, we aren't sitting at Wayne's house every day, or we're not here every day doing that. But here's what I want to say. Small groups and in these times where we come together, yeah, we come together at a point, but the small group is the relationship, not the meeting. So for instance, when I have dinner with my family, the family is not the dinner, it's the relationship that we have. When I'm with my friends, I still have friends that aren't sitting here with me now. It's not like, oh, now we're friends, you're gone, we're not. Everybody understand what I'm saying here? It's about the relationship that we have. And so what's really cool, in the fall, after we get through this next series, we're going to launch, like we do in the fall and spring, a church-wide series. And I want you guys to go ahead and connect. It's called Next Steps. I want you guys to connect and get with people and just do life together. You don't have to share anything, but man, there's some things that we need to do life together with. I messed that up, but you get it. All right. Told you I'm not perfect. Okay. Number five. You ready for number five? All right. Number five. Here we go. We have gratitude. We have give God your burdens and talk to God. We have get God's word in you and get in the word of God. We have maintain those good relationships. And right now, you're making a list of those who are and who aren't. But you know, I don't go a day without eating. And so I need these five things in my life. I can't think that those are unimportant. And number five is probably the hardest, but also the easiest. Surrender to God. Just surrender. You can come on with me. Just surrender to God. Surrender your life to Him. Surrender it all. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, who was a mess himself, he's the one who said, the good that I want to do, I don't do, but I keep on doing the bad that I don't want to do, and I'm in this area, and I've missed the goal. You ever gone outside and you wanted to hit the tree and you miss? He said, I missed that, and here's what Paul says. He says, I die every day. What does that mean? I die every day. It means that every day I've got to put some stuff to death. I have to put my attitude to death because I can get one. Anybody get one? I can have a cocky attitude. I can have a smarmy attitude. I can have just a ticked off, I'm going to be nasty attitude. So I have to put that to death. I have to put to death often my brokenness. Because even though outwardly, you may see a smile, a lot of times inwardly, I'm broken. Anybody with me on that one? There's other times where I have to put together and put to death my pain and my hurt. And one of the big ones, I have to put to death unforgiveness. Jesus said in Luke 9, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily. And follow me. It continues on and says, whoever wants to find their life will lose it, but whoever who wants to give it away and lose it for the kingdom of God will find it forever. These five things are things that we can put into life and into experience. And ultimately, this whole series has been about one thing. I'm a mess, but Jesus loves me. This I know. And because he does love me, he died to give his life for me. And because of that mess in my life, he also likes to clean it out and he likes to carry it away. But he doesn't leave it empty. He fills it with something new. And each and every day, there's a new blessing and a new mercy. So I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm going to ask you to stand right now. As we continue to go, I want you to ask God, okay, Lord, in my life, in my spirit, in my soul, in my body, God, I have a history of life and living. And in that life, you know, I have a lot of messy things. I've got a lot of issues that are flowing out of my heart. Right now, God, as I shut my eyes, or as I'm just got my eyes open and I'm thinking of you, I realize that I haven't given you thanks. So I'm going to say right now, thank you, God. And I haven't talked to you in a while, maybe because I'm mad at you. Maybe because I'm so angry with you about something that happened in my life or in somebody else's. It's okay. God says, hey, here I am. I haven't read the Bible because I've been afraid of it, because people have used it to manipulate me and to do some horrific things in life. God, you know that the relationship that I have, I'm struggling right now in my mind to find something that's meaningful. But maybe that's what I need to thank God for, that one meaningful relationship in my life where I'm surrounded by people who want to tear me down. Jesus says, hey, I've got a lot more for you. I've got a lot more meaningfulness and relationships if you'll just open your heart to me and to them. And so God, and ultimately right now, there may be some of us that aren't even sure of who you are, but we're trying to figure out why, what we're listening to, what we're hearing, and it's okay, God, but ultimately, my prayer is that we will begin to all surrender our lives to you. As one of our theme scriptures of this whole thing says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates us. God, just make us clean. Just make us clean again. Yeah, we're going to mess up, but you love us. You love us unconditionally. I think about the people we've shared, just the moments over life. I think about some of the prayer requests we've lifted up where a 30-year-old mom gives birth and dies. That's not right. Where people who are losing parents and dealing with struggles and all kinds of things. And God, some of us may not be able to just even comprehend this with the situation that we're in. But what I ask right now, God, just to love on us. Wrap your arms around us. Let us know that we're loved, that if we don't have one meaningful relationship in our life, that you love us. So God, make us clean. We will worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As always, if you want to pray where you are, if you want somebody to pray with you, just lift your hands up, or you can pray up front. But this ain't about us. This is about nobody around you. It's about you and God at this moment, and let him speak to you. Let's just go to him.
Me.
mercy, and I am clean. What was dead now lives again, and my heart's beating inside my chest. Nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You washed me in mercy, and I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You washed me in mercy. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean.
Isn't that awesome to know? Just that verse in there just hit me. There's nothing too dirty that God can't make worthy, the Lord can't make worthy. This is just a little bit adding on to that. When we were talking about those relationships, the meaningful ones, it just hit me that around here there's some people who are just so surrounded by people who've told them they're dirty, told them they're meaningless and unworthy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And there's nothing that you've done, could do, will do. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. He calls you his child, his son, and his daughter. And so no matter what you've done, he loves you. The favorite story in all of Scripture is the prodigal son. That every day, even though he wished his dad was dead and he was gone, and he was living that in the pig pen, he was never too dirty. That when he was returning home, his father, that old guy, ran and caught him, wrapped his arm around him and called him his son. That's what Jesus wants for you today. There's nothing too dirty that you can't be worthy. Amen? All right, awesome, great job. Next week, we're starting a series, You Wanted to Know. And so we're going to start off next week, What's God's Plan for My Life? As you're on the way out here, say, you're looking good. Later.